Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel. We're going to continue with the Word of God, a discussion of the Word of God. Last time we were talking about the transformation or the sanctification of body, soul, and spirit. And so we've been here for a couple of weeks, but I really want to hone in on some things so that we can understand that God has to wholly sanctify the believers. And that means that, as we talked before about salvation, how God has a process and salvation is big. And once we are justified, we said justification is God fighting for us. So Christ's death on the cross was for the world. And so once we come to the realization that we, his purpose in dying for us was to bring us back to the Father, and to justify us, just, you know, he has to settle the wrath that was against God because of the fall. Man was wholly separated. Man's spirit and or became dead, and his body became a tool for Satan, and his soul was corrupted. And so because of that, therefore, God had to send in a redeemer. He needed someone to redeem man back to God and reconcile them back to God the Father. And so that man is the man Jesus Christ. And so when we look at Satan, or when we look at the process, how Satan came in and usurped the authority of man and God, God came in, and it did not take God by surprise, but God used the death of his son to bring man back to God the Father. And not only to bring us back and justify us, he had to reconcile us because we were also enemies with God.
Amen.
So there was a need to be reconciled. So therefore, the judgment that awaited Satan and all the fallen angels, because of the fall, man threw in his lot with Satan, and therefore this judgment would have been due upon man as well. All those who deny or do not accept this redemption that Christ did for us at Calvary, okay?
Amen.
So when man fell, man's spirit became dead. And we talk about the spirit, how the spirit is or was that place of communion and fellowship with God. God, in the beginning, and we keep repeating this, God had created everything of it, and each thing had its own kind. But God had nothing that could relate to him of his kind. So this was why God created man. God is a triune God, and man is a tripartite being who possesses a body, soul, and a spirit. So when God created man, man was created out of the dust. And so when man was created out of the dust, God blew the breath of life into man, and because his breath or his spirit was blown into man, man became a living soul. So we see man with a spirit, a body, and a soul, okay?
Yes.
The soul is the part of man that is his personality, who he is, his mind, his will, his emotion. The body is that organ that deals with the outer, with the world, and comes in contact with the world through its senses, all what we see, what we hear, what we smell, okay? But the soul is the personality, and the Bible says, it translates to psyche, or where we get psychology and psychological. That's the human, that's the soul of a man. And the spirit of the man entails his conscience, his intuition, and this is a place where man commune with God. God is a spirit. So man was created to be of the same type and kind as of God. So this is why man has a tripartite being. It was for God to fellowship and commune and to fill man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Man was to be filled with the life of God, and this is why he was to eat from the tree of life. The tree of life is a picture of Christ. Christ, when you read all throughout the scriptures, it points to him as life. It says, in him was life, and he is the light of men. Okay, Christ often referred in the New Testament that we should eat his flesh and drink his blood. This is what sustains us and redeems us. The shedding of the blood, it brought redemption. This is why a lamb was slain. But at the same time, they would have to eat or partake of that animal by cooking it, and certain parts were given to the priests, the people, and what have you. So this was to show that man needed redemption, the shedding of the blood, and he needed Christ as life. So the cross is twofold. Not only does it supply redemption, in which we often just focus on the cross as redemption, the shedding of the blood, especially with Easter and everything coming up and the resurrection, but we have to realize there was great significance in Christ's life being imparted to man. So we partake of his body, his death, and his body as life. Why? Because in partaking of Christ, man's spirit has his spirit, soul, and body becomes uplifted. Okay? So we're mm-hmm. talking about sanctification. So in looking at sanctification, sanctification is just the process by which God transforms us or changes us and imparts his holiness. And holiness is just God himself, his character, his nature.
Yes.
Okay? Oftentimes, as Sister Cherry and I was talking, we only look at holiness as a denomination, or we look at holiness as our individualistic lifestyle apart from the body. But holiness is Christ's life imparted to us.
Yes.
It is Christ himself. So we have his divine nature in us, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Christ's life is has transformed us, okay? It's just as if I wanted some, if I wanted tea, I can have the tea bag and I can have a cup of hot water, but the two are separate. You see what I'm saying? The two are separate.
Mm-hmm.
Until
right.
I put the tea bag into the water, the hot water at the right temperature, will I get the mingling of the tea and the water, and however long the tea sits in the water determines how the texture of it, the flavor, how much of the tea, the flavor of the tea or the element of the tea is allowed to mingle with the water, and now you'll have tea.
Right.
See? So this is the same thing with God's life in us. His life can be in us, but there has to be a mingling with our body, soul, and spirit. God comes into us in order to make his home and abode to settle down into us. Okay, so we want to see this tonight. This is the purpose of sanctification. It's for
mm-hmm.
God's life to be imparted or to saturate and permeate my entire being. So we're going to go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is our base scripture. And we'll start back here reading our scripture. Let me pull it up.
Okay.
And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's start there, Sherry.
Okay. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. So here, just to recap, notice here it is God, the God of peace, who does the sanctifying, okay? It is God himself, God of peace, is the sanctifier, and his sanctification brings in peace. So when we are wholly sanctified by him from within, we have peace with him and with man in every way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't just have peace with God, but I have peace with others. Remember he said that God will make it where our enemies will be at peace with us.
Mm-hmm.
See? So we should be able to have such a nature. Remember, holiness is God himself. It's his nature. It's his element. Just like me having a pen, ink pen, you have the casing of the pen, but you have within the casing the element of ink. Okay? So whether it's a red pen, blue pen, black pen, if I have a cotton swab or a marker that contains the element of the ink or the paint of the marker within, as I dab that cotton swab, the element of the ink in the pen will permeate the cotton swab the longer that I press on the cotton swab with the marker. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is how God starts in our life. He starts When at regeneration, when I see a need for the Savior, God enters into my spirit. Remember, my spirit was deadened due to the fall, but after regeneration, God comes into my human spirit and he regenerates it and he implants his life or his divine nature in me. So I am to be holy because he is holy.
Yes.
See, we focus more on the externals of holiness, but holiness starts inwardly that will eventually manifest itself outwardly, okay? So the way that God's element, holy nature, the element of God, his nature, is implanted into me is through the process called sanctification, okay? So as saints, we are separated. See, sanctification means you set apart unto God. And this is where a lot of us as Christians don't realize that we are set apart. We are not supposed to be apart or be common anymore. See, what we have in common with the world system, with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you know, things that we do, tradition, doctrines, even religion, all these things are common. When God separates us or calls us into salvation, this is what many Christians don't understand, is that we've been called to be wholly separated, sanctified, and to enter into that. So once he justifies us, what qualifies me to become sanctified, to enter in the process of sanctification, meaning I've entered into, I've been set apart, pulled apart. So what other people can do or don't do or participate in, I may not do it, okay, because I'm being separated and being set apart unto him for his purposes, okay? So some people may be like, well, it's okay for me to do this and do that. It's okay. But if you're separated, you're separated unto God so that God's life can be imparted into us. Now, remember, we're the temple, and the temple of God is holy. So what God does in sanctification is that the first thing is the process of the cross being applied to our lives. So what happens is the reason why many of us cannot walk with the Spirit or be exercise the Spirit who's mingled with our spirit, like we talked about with the T, the reason why we can't walk with the Spirit or walk according to the leading of the Spirit is because our hearts have to be sanctified as well. And the heart includes the soul, the mind, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and it's also the conscience part of the spirit of man. So this is what makes, this is how we determine the heart and how it's different from the soul and the spirit. The heart entails the soul, but it also adds the conscience part of the spirit. So the spirit of a man is the consciousness, the intuition, and the place of communion with God. The heart of a man is the mind, the will, and the emotion, the soul, but it's also the conscious part of man, the part where we are convicted, okay? This is how God, he has to touch all of us, body, soul, and spirit, and it also entails the heart, the center of man. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, so this is where you and I get convicted in our heart, this is why he tells us, love the Lord God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength, and with your spirit. Our whole being has to be permeated, meaning that when God comes in, just like the ink or the marker on the cotton swab, the more I'm separated unto him for his purposes, the more I'm transformed. But I got to be transformed in heart first, because the heart is where I'm convicted, okay, by the Spirit. And once, because the Spirit is indwelling my human spirit. So at regeneration, the Holy Spirit comes into my human spirit, and he uplifts me, and now he convicts me through the heart that has to reach the mind. The mind is the leading part of the soul. So the soul entails the mind, will, and emotions. I have to let God convict me in my heart, which will deal with him saturating not only my spirit, but my heart, my mind, my will, and my emotions. And then eventually I will act outwardly act holy. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. So, see, that's why if you truly save and you do something and see like that thing gets in your heart, and then it gets in your heart, and then it gets into your mind, and then it's like, Lord, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I repent of what I've done. Because sometimes, you know, you can do something, and you feel so bad about what you've done that it just makes you feel like, Lord, I'm just sorry.
Right.
So that's why that's going to get into that in your heart.
Your heart, that's the right, the area of your conviction, and it entails the soul. So the heart of a man is the conscience part that comes from the spirit, and it is the part of the soul. Remember, before Christ comes into our heart, he says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Out of the heart flows the issues of life. See what I'm saying? Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Okay? So the Spirit of God has to convict me in heart, because that's the center of a man, and that's where life issues flow. It flows from the heart of man, okay? So just like when you think about the heart, the physical heart, the heart is there's a psychological heart and there's a physical heart, okay? So the psychological heart is the soulish part of the man, which entails his conscience, okay? So death of the body takes place when the heart stops beating, right? So both my physical body and my physical heart, my psychological heart have arteries. And the arteries of the psychological heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. See this? This is where activity takes place. See, you and I can't walk according to the dictates of the spirit unless my heart is engaged. So I can sit there and say, oh, yes, I love the Lord. God is good. And we want to exercise the spirit. But you can't exercise the spirit unless you're actively engaged with your heart, which entails your conscience, your mind, your will, and your emotions. God has to sanctify us in our heart, in our spirit, in our bodies. All that has to be sanctified. So this is what we get in 1 Thessalonians 5, that we are to be sanctified wholly. You see this? The whole entire, our entire being, because everything was corrupted at the fall. So because it was corrupted, we said sanctification. And this is where many Christians fail to enter into this process, because that's what sanctification is. It's the process by which we are made holy. And holiness is the nature and the quality of being holy. It's the nature of God. And sanctification is the practical effect, the character and activity whereby God produces this holiness. His nature being imparted into us.
Amen.
Not understanding this, you know, because we often just, you know, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. We say that, but we don't understand what it means, okay? So this is why we have to let the God of peace, because in sanctification, he has to apply peace. How many of us know that we have and we will encounter stuff in this life? He said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. But the way that I can be of good cheer is because I learn to set my heart towards, like flint, towards God to do the perfect will. See, Christ's heart was set on doing the will of God. See this? And so if the heart is not actively engaged, you cannot be led by the Spirit. Because if your mind is not engaged, your will not engaged in your emotions, the Spirit of God can come in the midst of a service, and if we're not becoming one, if we don't have the mind of Christ, see this, we've got to have the mind of Christ. See, this is why it has. This is why we need to be renewed, and this is where we'll get to tonight in Romans 12. This is why the renewal has to take place. It's because God is making our minds where we have the mind of Christ. Okay? He's dealing with our will where we become one with him. And our emotions have to be in line with him. See, our emotions can be all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
If our emotions are not right, then you can go to church, you can sing pretty songs, and you see people sitting like a knot on the log.
Mm-hmm.
So God has to, and as a matter of fact, we're going to go to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. I want to go there right quick. We're still talking about being sanctified holy, okay? And the reason why I'm going this route is because the believer has to learn that in practicality, this thing is about experiencing God. It's not about the doctrines of anything. It's not about the traditions of the things that we've heard and learned. But it's about knowing how to apply through experience, apply God's word to our day-to-day living and our day-to-day activity, okay? We are a creature. We've all been created by God. We can be sons of the creature or sons of God. And what I mean by sons of the creature or creation, God created everything, okay? Man was created. Man was a son of the creature. But unless God touch it, unless God transforms it and makes us the son, see, when we get saved, we become children of God, and God is working to gain sons of God. And that sons entails both men and women, okay? So when we become sons of God, it's about maturity. If I continue to be a child can't inherit the things until he's full grown. You see what I'm saying? So sanctification is the process whereby we're being brought up to maturity in Christ so we can inherit, be heirs and joint heirs with Christ and overcomers with him. So I have to understand where I am in the process, and this is why when we talked about Israel, when you look at the salvation experience of them coming out of Egypt and the shedding of the blood and the eating of the Passover meal and the lamb and the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs, all of that was a picture of Christ's life, the shedding of blood, and they had to eat in order to have sustained life to get them through the crossing out of Egypt, the world, crossing over the Red Sea into the wilderness, and they had to continue to eat different aspects of Christ and enjoy Christ. And the only two that originally came out of Egypt who continued with Christ or God and enjoying Christ was Joshua and Caleb. Yes. Okay. They were a picture of how the others were overthrown in the wilderness. Why? Because in their hearts, he said their hearts were still where?
Egypt.
Yes. They still longed for the things of Egypt, the world system, the lust of it. So they could not enjoy Christ, which was in type, the manna, the tree cut down and placed in the bitter waters. Remember, they went to drink the water, and it was bitter and at Marah, and then they cut the tree. Moses told them to cut the tree, and the tree representing Christ made the waters sweet, the bitter water sweet, right? They could not enjoy Christ, and God said, I tried. He took into account, okay, yeah, they need water, yeah. They cried out for food, man, and God took that into account because he wanted them to come to him. He could provide Christ for them. But then it came to a certain point, they didn't want the manna. They wanted meat, quail. They wanted to plan for themselves, right? God kept trying. They put God on trial, and they were proving God. And God said, I've tried, and I can't get them into Canaan, because how can you go to Canaan? And that's what salvation is about. Doesn't matter what we go through in life, the circumstances, but if I go through eating Christ, if I go through enjoying Christ, it gives me the strength to overcome and cross many rivers, many obstacles. Y'all see what I'm saying? I can continue following Christ. And this is why many begin, but not many end with Christ. All of them began with the Passover meal, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of them partook. When you read in 1 Corinthians, they ate of the manna and the water and the smitten rock. But he said many were overthrown in the wilderness. So they didn't make it to Canaan or the promised land, which was a type of Christ, because in the promised land they stopped eating the manna and they ate the produce of the land, which means that Christ supplies all that we need.
Yes.
When we embrace, y'all see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So this is a picture. This is another aspect of eating Christ from a different aspect. Remember we talked about the courses, the meal course, and you go to a buffet, you have all these meals lined up and different entrees or whatever you can eat from. Well, in Christ, we have different aspects of him that we can partake. When you read the Bible, you see all these different aspects of Christ. You see him in as the lamb slain. You see him as the Passover lamb that they ate from, and the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread. And then we see him as the manna and the smitten rock. You see, then we see him eating of the food of the land that the land produced. We see him also in the tabernacle and in all these different aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see him as the table of showbread, as the lampstand, as the altar of incense, as the brazen. So all these are different entrees of Christ, different aspects of Christ that I have to learn to enjoy in this life, despite my circumstances. So Israel was pulled out. He said, I chose you out of all the nations, and I separated you for me. Why? Because God wanted to be in their midst, and he wanted to be an expression. He wanted to express himself through them. Okay? We are, Christ came, and Christ was an expression of God. Okay, we as the church are an expression of Christ or God. They're all in one. So we express, the church expresses Christ. So in order for this to take place, we have to enter into a process whereby we're being transformed. Okay, y'all at Matthew, any questions? I know I've been going on, but at Mark chapter 12, I think I said verse 30.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's go there. I'll get there in a second, Sister Cherry.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Okay. So notice here, he tells them that you shall love the Lord with your whole, from your whole heart, this is in the expanded Greek, and from your whole soul, and from your whole mind, and from your whole strength. See this?
Mm-hmm.
Notice he has here, from your whole heart, and he has from your whole soul. Now remember, the heart entails the soul, plus the conscience of the spirit. Okay? So it takes we have to have our emotions saturated with the love of Christ, and our heart in particular contains the emotions, the mind, and the will. So you got the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength, okay? So the mind is mentioned because it's the leading part of our soul. And our soul entails the mind, the will, and the emotion. Now, the strength is the physical body. So we have both an inner and an outer. We are both an inner and an outer being. And all of this has to be saturated by God. So in order for me to truly be living, it involves my spirit and my heart. So the exercise of the spirit will not work if the heart does not act. You see this? So reading this, you see that he's saying, you shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart and from your whole soul and from your whole mind and from your whole strength. This sanctification process will bring in, make you and I active from the heart. See, a lot of us as Christians, we like, well, I'm waiting on the Spirit, and I'm praying to the Lord for this to happen. But you and I have to be engaged with our whole being, our whole heart, our whole soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions. All of this is going to have to be saturated by the Spirit of God, meaning that God's life has to permeate all of these things. Remember, the fall caused everything to become deadened, okay, and ruined. But when Christ comes, he comes to uplift fallen man. Even after I'm saved, I still have different aspects of my life and living that's not right. I have a mindset that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
How I was brought up, that's not right. And some of us are trying to use that mindset. Some of us dig deep into our mind, soulish mind, to comprehend spiritual things. And if it don't make sense to the soulish mind, then we won't accept or embrace. See, that creature being a son of the first creation or the creature will try to love God. But I got to let God transform me through sanctification to become the son of God. And matter of fact, I'm going to go to John 1, I think it's verse 12. I want you to see this right quick. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. But John 1, verse 12, let me get here. It says here, and it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into his name. Okay? So at salvation or regeneration, when I gave my life to Christ, God gave, he said, as many as received him. See this? So that's me receiving God's life. Okay? So when I receive him, that means to believe into is to receive. So when I receive or believe into him, then he gave me what? The authority to become a child of God. It says, for human beings to become children of God is for man to have the divine life and the divine nature. See this? So just because I have the divine life and nature in me does not mean that I have gone on to mature as a son of God. Okay? If you read in Romans 8, it talks about becoming the sons of God and how all of creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. Okay? We have to mature into this, and sanctification is a process that God uses to get us there. So it says, to those who believe into his name, verse 13 says, who were begotten not of blood. See this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to. So blood here signifies the physical life, okay? And it says, nor of the will of the flesh. And the will of the flesh denotes the will of fallen man after man became flesh, nor of the will of man. And the will of man refers to the will of the man created by God. See, all of us as the first creation have a will. We have a mind. We love out of that first creation. But God, this is why we have to become the new creation. See, the new creation, the love is totally different. This is why if you have to check yourself, because a lot of times it's easier for us to love out of that first creation or the creature, okay, the sons of the creature. When we were created by God, everybody's created by God, right? So you are a creature created by God, first creation. You have mind, a will, an emotion. You have, so whatever comes out of that, even after salvation, we have to be careful, because we will have a natural inclination to love those that are submissive, that do what we want them to do, when we want them to do, and how we want, and we will cater to them and according to that first creation, because we have something in common and we can relate. That's the love of the first creation. But if I don't have nothing in common, I can't relate to them, I don't have nothing to do with them. See, that's the creature, the son of the creature, the first creation. But when I'm created as a son of God, it's not according to the blood or of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. See this? My focus is the will of God. So when Christ's family came and he was preaching, and they said, your mother and your brother's here. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? He was doing the will of God. That was, he wasn't coming from a natural love. Not saying that we don't love people, but our love has to be transformed through the process of sanctification, where you learn to treat and love everyone unconditionally. Those of the world, you see them, you know, we can get mad and want to retaliate, but God has to help us to realize the greater need. These people are destined for hell.
Right.
They need you to pray on their behalf, that they be mm-hmm. broken, that they come to the end of themselves. Y'all see this? But we get yeah. agitated, irritated, because they're not naturally what they don't do what I say do when I say do it, or they don't believe or think like I think, and we just turn our backs. But God wants to put the love of Christ in us, and it has to permeate our emotions. It has to get back. See, God has to get past our mind. Our mind, see, if our mind is broken, because that's the leading part of the soul, which entails the mind, the will, and emotions. But the mind is the leading part. So if God can penetrate through convicting the heart to get to the soul, and then his life can flow and develop me. See, all these trials and situations you and I encounter, the purpose of it is not necessarily the other person, but it's to get you and I to see, well, you don't love. You only mm-hmm. love when people do things with the way you want them to do it. You can't. You don't have the patience for somebody that don't see things the way you see. And you don't. Y'all see what I'm saying? So God lets us see ourselves to realize that if our affection is for him first and only, the will of God. See, what the will of God is, that's what I want. That's what Christ wants. He put the will of God first. This is what being pure in heart means. It means you have one singleness of purpose. Doesn't mean that you were without fault. It just simply means your purpose is what God's will is. Your purpose is to seek after what the will of God is. People will come to us with many suggestions and say many things, but you and I have to seek God's will about situations and circumstances. Y'all understand?
Yeah.
So, okay, we can go back over to, I'm gonna go, y'all still at Mark 11, 12 and 30?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me go back over here and make sure I hit it. Any questions while I'm going here?
Miss City, now explain that. Okay, the new creation, the first creation,
okay.
Is that when we're not saved?
No.
Okay.
People that are not saved are automatically are the first creation. But remember, after salvation, we still need transformation.
Right.
We can still act out of the natural man. We can still act out of our emotions that's not been transformed.
Okay.
So this is what it means when he says, those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. See, as a Christian, I got to learn not to be carnal, looking at things from a human perspective and not from the divine perspective. So I'm saved, but I'm in a process. Just like those Israelites that were in Egypt, they were saved, but they had to shed the blood. The shed blood was the only thing that kept them from God's judgment. So it's the same with us. God says, when I see the blood, but under the blood, the covering, see, the reality, my position is that I'm right with God. But my condition, my position only allows God to deal with my condition. The world don't have the position of being right with God. See that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, therefore, the only thing they can incur is the judgment of God.
Okay.
If there's not a change, if they're not, you know, accept. So right now we're in the dispensation of grace where God is not giving us what we deserve, but if God comes in and to call it, or, you know, to take us out and everything is, he's ready to wrap it up, then mm-hmm. people are going to have to go through. It'll be much harder during that time. They can still get saved, but it'll be much harder. His grace is still there, but it's not the way it was as it is now. It's put in this dispensation. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, God, we are a work in progress, and we still need transformation. So let's go to – let me go back to Mark. Did I answer your question, Sister Cherry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go ahead. I think I'm finished there with Mark 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. So we see here that it says here our inner and outer being should be saturated with God. To be living is to involve our spirit and heart. So we have to exercise, in order to exercise, to have the exercise of the spirit, it will not work if my heart is not actively involved. As we read here, you shall love the Lord, the Lord God, from your whole heart, from your whole soul, and from your whole mind, and from your whole strength. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If that means we're actively involved with God as far as the sanctification process. You and I have to let God have his way. God will not just come in and force his will on us, okay? I have to. That's just like a child that's sick. If you got a child that's sick and they don't want to take the medicine, right? In order to preserve their health, they're going to have to take it. And so the same thing with us. In the process of sanctification, in order to preserve us blameless, I'm going to have to partake of this process. So it is the process of sanctification that I am preserved blameless through being holy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is that process that makes me, of going through the process of sanctification, that preserves me to be blameless before God. And so we're going to read that in a minute. But let's go right now. Let's go to Romans 12, verses, I think, 1 and 2.
What verse?
Let's start at verse 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay. So notice here that the first thing that we have to do is, he says here, I exhort you, therefore, brethren, through the compassion of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So the body has to become a sacrifice. It has to be lived. I have to present it. See, I have an active part in this with God, okay? So he says, if I'm in the likeness of his death, I'll be in the likeness of his resurrection. And he tells me, present my members as instruments of righteousness. See this? So I have to learn. See, this whole process of God working in me and me presenting myself, it's the life of the body of Christ that's to be realized throughout our entire being. That's what's needed in order for me to be connected to the body, or God to have his body here on earth and it be realized. This process has to take place. So, in other words, I can say I'm a Christian but never enter into this process And this is remember, this is the church life. This is how God's life is imparted into me, his divine nature. This is what we mean by church life, because it is God's life to the church that connects me to the head. Me presenting my body as a living sacrifice means that I have to be come as if dead but alive. How am I going to present myself? I have to present myself living, and then I have to die to self, to sin, the world, and Satan. Y'all see what I'm saying? I don't come to God dead, but mm-hmm. I got to be a living sacrifice. When they brought the sacrifices had to be living, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they slayed the animal sacrifice. So I have to come to God living, but I have to become dead to self. The cross does the work of crucifying me. See this? This is the only way I can have true life. Life comes out of death. Lazarus, come forth. But Lazarus had to experience death. Okay? Christ came forth out of the grave with all power. He became that kernel of wheat that went to the ground and died to bring forth much fruit. So fruit comes out of death of the seed. Okay? The shell has to die in order for the life to come forth. And so I can only have life if I'm experienced death through the cross. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay? So again, he's talking about our body, our soul, and our spirit. Our body must be presented to God for the body of Christ. So if I'm not experiencing this salvation or this process of sanctification, I cannot be connected to the head, to Christ. Why? Because I'm not submitted to his process. And life flows from the head. This is why we have all this division in the church as we see it, is because nobody's connected. So everybody's doing their own thing. The only thing that connects us, you think about your natural body. Your head has to be connected to your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the parts and members of your body has to be connected. And from your head, the flow, you get life flowing, and all the other parts supply life to every member, because we're all connected,
right?
And so each part will supply its part as we're connected and submitted to the head. When there's a disunity in the body, because we're not getting our source from the head, and we're over here individualistic trying to do our own thing, mm-hmm. then you will not be able to connect to the true body. See, it takes maturity. It takes me going through this process of sanctification in order to be connected. So, God, you'll find this is nothing that you do in your natural. Well, let me find somebody to be connected to. Let me go find. No, you don't. You will be led by the Spirit, and you will be connected, and nobody will be, well, who are they, and what? Why are they doing it? Y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a natural flow.
Right.
And each member supplies. It's not one person doing all the work. It's everybody coming together for the purpose of the body, to be God's living body here on earth to accomplish the will. When Christ lived on the earth, he was that temple for God to express God and to walk in the authority of God. God needs a body on earth because Christ said, if he goes, then we would do much more than what he's done. Why? Because there's more of us than there was just the one person of him. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So God needs us to go through this process so that we can be the body. And when he has his body here on earth, the body's just setting up everything for his return. Okay?
Yeah.
If he doesn't have a church, remember, he wanted a church without spot or wrinkle. He can't return. We're holding him up because he's waiting on us to operate as the body in the earth. But so many of us bypass this process of sanctification. We think that, oh, I got my own ministry here and here. We're doing this and we're doing that. Everybody's so divided.
Yeah.
That nobody wants to come together to be the body. You can go and count on one street how many churches, and they say everybody come together.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Instead of everybody coming together in that one area and say, we're the body, and we come here to edify one another. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying that there will be no faults and issues, but if we're led of the Spirit knew how to settle all disputes. There was always somebody mature enough to lead people back to Christ. Okay, we're all in this thing where we have to be developed and built up to the stature of Jesus Christ. That's in Ephesians 4. We got to understand the depth, the width, the height. All of this, we've got to become rooted and grounded in him, okay? So it says here, living in chapter 6, the members of our bodies are to be presented as weapons of righteousness. That's Romans 6, 13, for warfare and service. In this chapter, chapter 12, however, our bodies are to be presented as a living sacrifice for the church, God's life, church life, to flow through the members, see? So remember, he needs his body, and the body has to be connected to the head so that life supply can flow from the head throughout. So if we got God's life in us, the divine nature and the divine life, God, we have to work with God. So we have to come and present. And remember, my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, all have to be actively engaged with God. So this sacrifice is living because it has life through resurrection. It is not like the sacrifices in the old which were slain. But this sacrifice is also holy because positionally it has been separated unto God. See, this is sanctification. So sanctification, this process of sanctification is entails transformation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It says this sacrifice is also holy because positionally it has been separated unto God by the blood of Christ from the world and from all persons and matters and things that are common. This is what God is doing. Sanctification to separate us from all persons, matters, the world, and things that are common, because they are all of the natural life, the old creation. The natural life and the old creation have been sanctified and transformed by the Holy Spirit with God's life and God's holy nature for God's satisfaction. This is what's pleasing to God.
Amen.
It is the natural life. Many of us as Christians are still living according to the natural life. We got attitudes. We get in our emotions. We compare each other by each other. We have bitterness, malice. God has to do away with that. It has to be crucified. This is why he sets us apart, because we got to go through transformation. Okay?
Yes.
So in the Greek, bodies here is plural and sacrifice is singular. So this indicates that although many bodies are presented, they become one sacrifice, implying that although we are many, our service in the body of Christ should not be many individual services. That's what we just mentioned, separated and unrelated. Think about all the different denominations, non-denominations, churches, all these things that are separated, all these services that are separated. That's not the body. That's not the body. It says all our service should constitute one whole service. And this
yes.
service must be unique because it is the service of the one body of Christ. You see this?
Amen.
You got folks saying this and saying, see, when we start dividing up and we start talking about, oh, it's the doctrine of the Trinity, it's the doctrine of the rapture, it's the doctrine of this, and it's the doctrine of that, and you have to wash feet, and you can't do, what happens is, remember, I'm the body, so it's no different than me cutting off my arm and presenting it. when you start dividing up the body, you're cutting off all these different aspects of it. You see what I'm saying? And it's unrelated. So you don't have the whole picture. People got different aspects, and all you're doing is dividing the body. When you see the body, you don't see one part of the body, right?
Right.
When you see a body, you're not just looking at the arm. When you see somebody, you don't just look at the ear.
Right.
When you see a person and you're talking, you see the body, right? You see that whole centrality of that person. You're not just focused on a foot. But this is what we do when we divide up the body and into all these different things and meanings and doctrines and traditions, and we're dividing it up and focused on a foot, a toe. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
God wants a whole body, and the whole body will supply because it's getting its life from the head. And each joint supplies to every member of the body. Any questions before we go further? Okay. Verse 2. Did you read that, Sister Terry?
Not yet.
Okay, verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay. So it says in the expanded Greek, and do not be fashioned according to this age. Okay, not means here that we should not be assimilated by the world to the extent that we have been separated from the world unto God, have the same image as this age. This is very important because many of us pick up the culture. We pick up what the fads, the latest thing that the world is doing. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to dress before Him and how to act. See, God doesn't put race, color. He doesn't exalt those things above. He doesn't see, he said there's Jew nor Greek. But the culture is promoting, in each age, it promotes different races and different things. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we jump on bandwagons and we support people because of color. Now all you see is everybody telling everybody, you know, got all these, now they have a black genre of everything, right? You look at TV on video games and all this stuff, you can pick your genre of black whatever. y'all seen it. Y'all might as well come on and get stoned with me. and I'm like, what is this? When we become divided by color like this? Y'all see? So my point is, that's the spirit of this age. It promotes division. You see, genre for the LGBTQ, whatever it is, right? You see all they promote now homosexuality and transgenderism and all these things. I told y'all, come on, get stoned with me.
Yeah.
So this is the spirit of the age. In each age and all throughout the years, Satan has used all these different things. Homosexuality was prevalent during this time of Sodom and all, and probably further back. Y'all see what I'm saying? So he's got different people and different – this is the spirit of the age.
Right.
You look at the young folk, all of them wearing their hair a certain way now, right?
Right.
Everybody's getting tatted up now, right?
Yep.
One time there was a thing. Now I look at TV, I see them in passing, they be talking about these commercials, it's the bedding. Y'all seen all this bedding?
Yeah.
Sports bedding. One time, you know, that was against the law to do all this stuff, and now they got restaurants now that are serving alcohol on Sundays now. You know, one time they didn't do it, and so you see the spirit of this age. We can't get caught up with the spirit of the age.
Right, amen.
You know what I'm saying? So he's telling us, he says, and do not be fashioned according to this age or this world system. Satan is the god of the world system, okay? The world system includes all the opinions and thoughts and fads and everything, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's the world system. You see it? You got to have it. You desire it. I got to have it so I can be puffed up and the pride of life. How it can be an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why all these folks go after the athletes. You know, they are influencers. The Hollywood celebrity means celebrate me. So they use these influencers, even in politics, they use these influencers to push and cause us to conform to the spirit of this world system, the latest fads. Amen?
Amen.
So you and I cannot be conformed to it, and my time is almost up. So we'll pick up on the word conformed is also translated fashioned, okay? And it says according to this age. I want to read this last part, this age. It says this age denotes the present practical part of the world, that part which we contact and which we live, whereas the world and the evil system of Satan, according to Ephesians chapter 2, is the composition of all people, matters, and things outside of God, including religious as well as secular things. Okay? The religious system was according to the religious system that Paul and Christ dealt with was according to the secular world system. Okay? It was a system, the world system, according to religion, and God will deal with that in Revelation. So we'll pick up there on next week. Anybody got any questions or comments, if you'll hold on, we'll take those. But we thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and we pray that we said some stuff that will strengthen you in your walk. And until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.